Well, it is a joy to be here this morning. We are going to begin by just a few announcements. I have two that I'm going to wait till the end that I really want y'all to hear. First off, we're continuing to collect money for Light of the Village. You know, many times in the years past, we've had a tree in the back that has had things for you to pick up and you could go purchase the gift. And we have found out that it's a lot easier if we make donations that we can get the gift exactly what the children would like. And so if you would like to do a gift for Light of the Village, it's $25 per gift, and the deadline is December 1st. I've also been asked to tell everybody to put on your calendar, December 11th and the 12th at 6 p.m. is Carols by Candlelight. Now, I'm excited, and it's like my favorite time of the year, right? The most wonderful time of the year, I think, is how the song goes. Love for you to be a part. 6 o'clock on both evenings. They don't need tickets, right? No tickets required. We are continuing to walk through and pray over the Joshua offering. I want to give you an update. We are now at $246,000 given since August 8th. Let's just give God the glory for that. I just praise the Lord for what He is doing. As I share every week, we give because He is the biggest giver of them all, and He has given us His Son, Jesus Christ. I do have two other announcements that I want to share with you. Today, right after worship, Brother Randy and I are going to the state convention. That's a prayer request for me, because I'll be with Randy for 3 days. But what's really amazing is that on Monday is the pastor's conference, and I'm super excited about being poured into, as many pastors will be preaching. But this year, they are beginning, and this will be the first time, and it will be an annual award. They're going to be giving out the Fred Wolf Lifetime Pastoral Ministry Award, and I'm excited about that. That's going to be an annual award that they give out. I know who the winner is, but I'm not allowed to tell you. But I will share with you on Wednesday. And here's the thing. They've asked me to go up there and be a part of giving this award out. And so just what an honor, what a privilege. Be praying for Monday. I've already told them that if they ask me to say something, I don't know if I'll be able to get through it. So just be praying for everyone. And it's going to be a wonderful time as we go to the state convention. This past Thursday was Veterans Day, and on Wednesday we acknowledged that, but I wanted to take just a moment this morning just to say thank you to all of our veterans. If you are a veteran and served in the military, would you stand up at this time? Amen. Thank you so much for your service. Remember, freedom does not come free. And I thank God for the men and women who have served that we may have freedom here in America. And we want to start with this video this morning.
Well, good morning, and thank you to our veterans this morning. Yes, please give them a hand for all the work and sacrifice that you have had for our country. If you are a guest with us today, we are so glad that you are here. I'm going to go ahead and call our ensemble to come to the stage. But if you're a guest with us, we have a welcome card that you can fill out in the seat back pocket that's right in front of you. We would love to be able to send you a little bit more information about Luke 4:18 Fellowship, because here we want to be a place that is a family and that is pursuing knowing Christ daily, growing in Him, and going in Him to all the world. We want you to be a tree firmly planted by running water. He is our living hope, and today we want to praise Him and let the song of our heart be that we are saved by grace alone. Amen? Amen. We're going to start with our ensemble singing. Can you welcome them this morning? Thank you.
Just like a tree that grows by the water, let the strong winds blow, I will not move. Just like a child secure in the love of the Father, never letting go, I cling to You. Situation, no room for fear and doubt. No matter what I'm facing, the song of my heart is ringing out.
I stand on Your promise, I will not be moved. Nothing can tear us apart. My faith won't be shaken, I'm anchored in You. In death and in life You remain. The song of my heart. Oh, 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 You're the song of my heart. Oh, 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 oh.
When all is said and done and the storm is over, You are tried and true, You never change. When all the sinking sand, You're a strong foundation. Everything else will fade, but You remain. In every situation, no room for fear and doubt. No matter what I'm facing, the song of my heart is ringing.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, and all that he does, he prospers.
With every breath that I take, with every beat of my heart, God, I will sing to the world. Faithful You've been, faithful You are.
With every breath that I take, of my heart, God, I will sing to the world. Faithful You've been, faithful You are. With every breath that I take, with every beat of my heart,
with every breath,
God, I will sing to the world.
Faithful,
faithful You've been, faithful You are.
With every breath that I take,
I will not be moved.
your promise, I will not be moved. Nothing can tear us apart. My faith won't be shaken. I'm anchored in you. In death and in life, you remain the song of my heart. Oh, 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 you're the song of my heart. Oh, 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 the song of my heart.
Amen. You can go ahead and stand to your feet. This morning, we are talking about that name that is above every name. There's within our hearts a melody, a song that continually is supposed to be in praise to the Lord. You're always worshiping. The question is, who or what are you worshiping today? We are going to worship the Lord. There's within my heart. Let's sing together.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet.
Pray that you would be the one that fills us up, that we would be able to do the good works that you have put forward for us to do, that we would run the race, that we would count all as loss for the greatness of knowing you. You are holy. There is no one like you, Lord. We worship you as Creator, as Savior, as our God this morning. We love you.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Sing Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
Amen.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
We live for you. Can you say that?
We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus.
Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to
body of believers, so that we can do your work in your kingdom when we build.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you.
Our solid rock, the thing that we build our life around, because in this Christian life, it isn't that we accept Christ and then everything's all right. Is that somebody's experience today? No? Okay, good. Me neither. But that in that, we're constantly reminded that He is with us. Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. Casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. It goes on to say, after you have suffered for a little while, and there will be suffering, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. He is stronger than the things of this life. If you're in a storm, if you're going through a valley, He will lead you on. Let's sing this together.
There is love that came for us, humbled to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious. Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free. Amen. And Jesus.
no beginning and no end. You're my hope and my defense. You came to see and save the lost.
Sing it out.
You paid it all.
So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. Lift him up.
So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher. So let your name be lifted higher, be lifted higher, be lifted higher.
Together, that He is our all in all.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all.
Can you say that this morning, that He's your everything?
Seeking You as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Sing it out.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is Your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless Your name. You are my all in all. And when I fall down, You pick me up. When I am dry, You fill my cup. You are my all.
Father, we want You to be our all in all, our everything. Every situation that we have, You are intimately acquainted with. You know, You have known us, and You will know us forever if we are in You. I pray that today that we would see that You have given us a way to go through this life. You have given us the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and direct us, Lord. And Your Word, Your revealed Word, to live our life by. We pray that we would do that. We thank you so much for your Son, for the Savior. We thank you that you will guide, lead, direct, sustain us, Lord, and that you are sanctifying us step by step if we are in your Son. We pray that today that we would just give you the things that we've been holding on to for so long, our anxieties and our worries and our struggles, Lord, because you can hold them all. You have everything in your hands. We love you, Lord, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, as I share each week, it is a joy to be here today and to proclaim God's word. My prayer is, as it always is that I would get out of the way and sit on the front row and just hear what God is speaking. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open up to Ephesians chapter 6. And also, I remember as a kid whenever Brother Fred or Roy Fish would say, and also open to another passage and put your ribbon there. Today I'm going to say that. If you have also opened to Romans 8 and put your ribbon in Romans 8, we're going to come back to Romans 8 three different times, and I want you to see exactly what's being spoken. You know, the last time I flew on the last time I flew back from Israel, it was about several hours extra because of having to change flight patterns. And I remember the pilot saying, "We are about to make our descent into New York." And I think the whole plane wanted to shout and rejoice. Well, I'm here to tell you today, we are making our descent in landing in the book of Ephesians. Amen. So today, and two more weeks, and we will be finished with the book of Ephesians. But I'll tell you, it's been a joy to walk through this book, and there's so many incredible truths. What I'm going to share with you today, the Lord has just been teaching me so much and growing me so much in this. Let's pick up in Ephesians chapter 6, and you know that we're in spiritual warfare, verses 10 through verse 20, but I want to pick up in verse 17. He says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. And pray on my behalf that the utterances may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we praise your holy name. We ask right now that the Holy Spirit of promise would illuminate the pages, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see, that we may place this into our life, and that we may walk daily in it. For it's in your precious and holy name. Amen. Now today I want to go back just a little bit because we're going to talk about or look at the offensive weapons that we have as believers, the offensive weapons. Now we have two offensive weapons. We have the sword of the Spirit and we have prayer. Now what's interesting is in verse 17 it says the sword of the Spirit, and then in verse 18 it says to pray at all times in the Spirit. So we're going to look first at how the Holy Spirit is who gives us access to the weapons that we have. So the first thing we're going to look at is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to remind you that when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, at the moment of salvation, you received all of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14 that I'll ask the Father and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it did not see him or know him. God placed his sanctuary within our heart as believers and filled it with his presence, the Holy Spirit. I love in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter tells us that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. How did he do it? By filling us with his presence, by placing the Holy Spirit of promise inside of us. And then in Romans 8, verse 11, I told you we'd be over in Romans 8. You may want to circle this over in your passage. It says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Brothers and sisters, Jesus promised that the Spirit would come. The Spirit fell down at Pentecost. And for all believers from Pentecost on, at the point of salvation, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us access to and gives us the ability to take up the offensive weapons that God has given us. That first offensive weapon that the Holy Spirit gives us understanding and power to take up is the sword of the Spirit. Now, we talked about the sword of the Spirit, and I'm going to mention it quite a bit today, but I will be very quick because of we want to get to the second, which is prayer. But how does the Holy Spirit help us take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? Well, in John 16, verse 13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth," remember, Jesus said the Spirit of truth would come and dwell within you. It says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." The Holy Spirit will guide us in the truth. What is the truth? It's the Word of God. All truth comes from the source, which is Jesus. Because he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." "For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears," the Holy Spirit hears, "he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come." As I've shared with you many times, we cannot understand God's holy word without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why I pray, "Father, illuminate the pages through the Holy Spirit." That's the reason why we pray, "Father, may the Holy Spirit guide us in our understanding of your word." Paul said it really clear to the Corinthians. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 through 14, if you remember, verses 3 and 4 is my life verse, my preaching, teaching, not in persuasive words of wisdom, but on the power of the Spirit, on the power of God. Now later in that chapter, Paul says this, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God." We have been given, Paul speaking about himself, proclaiming the truth, but let me just say this to brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been given the Holy Spirit so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. How does the Holy Spirit allow us to take up the Word of God? He is the one who gives us understanding, allowing us to see what God is speaking. And Paul even goes further. He says, "Which things," verse 13, "which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." And he says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him." Have you ever heard somebody say the Word of God is foolish? Have you ever heard somebody say the Word of God is out of date, old, just needs to sit on the shelf? It says, "But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him and cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Brothers and sisters, do we recognize that it's through the Holy Spirit that we're able to take up the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God? It's the Holy Spirit who guides and tutors us. Now go back to verse 18 of Ephesians 6. And it says, "with all prayer and petition." Now, this is very interesting because in our Bibles, it starts a new sentence in verse 18. And actually, in my Bible, the NASB, it starts a new paragraph because it's the verse 18 is bolden. And whenever it's bolden, it's starting a new paragraph. But when you look at the Greek, this does not start a new sentence. It's a continuation. It begins with a preposition in verse 18. So therefore, in the Greek, it says this, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, well, let me say it this way, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition. See, in the Greek, it says that the way that we are to pick up the word is through prayer. Prayerfully taking up God's word. How many of you have opened up God's word in the morning just to check off the box to say that you read it, and then you say, well, I didn't get much out of it? Well, the reason is because you didn't start by asking the Holy Spirit to guide you. Asking the Holy Spirit to be your tutor, to open up your eyes to see, to illuminate the pages. See, in verse 18, it says, with all prayer, we take up the word of God prayerfully. But then the Spirit also is involved in this, in prayer. In prayer. So remember, number one is all about the Holy Spirit today and how the Holy Spirit gives us access to the offensive weapons. We see that the Holy Spirit is our guide and our tutor to the Word of God, and that we do that prayerfully. But then we also see in verse 18 to pray at all times in the Spirit, in the Spirit. So let's talk about this for a moment. For some of you, you see pray at all times in the Spirit and you immediately go to speaking in tongues. Now, if you would like to study speaking in tongues, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you can read all about it, and 1 Corinthians, I believe, 14, and you can get an understanding of it. But I do not believe that Paul is speaking about speaking in tongues in this moment. See, what Paul is saying is that actually there's no way to pray but to pray in the Spirit. What he's saying is that the only way that we are able to pray is in the Spirit. Now let me just explain. We have access to the Father by what? Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. When he said, "It is finished," the veil was torn from top to bottom, and we now had access to the Holy of Holies. We now were able to come confidently before the throne of grace. But we recognize in the Scriptures that we come, not only do we have access through the blood of the Lamb, but we come in the Spirit. Here's why. Go back to Romans 8. This is powerful. Romans 8, verse 14 through 17 says this. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, what? Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Wow. Think about this for a second. We have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus. But the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us is testifying with our spirit that we are children of God. See, we come to God to speak to Him as Father. Now, think about this for a minute. I shared this Wednesday night. But first off, that word Abba Father, it has just rang true to me when I went to Israel. And we're in the hotel lobby, and all of a sudden this dad is walking very fast, and this kid is behind him going, Abba, Abba, Abba. And what he was saying was, Dad, Father. The Spirit of Christ dwells, Abba, calls out, Abba, Father, inside of us. The Spirit himself testifies that we are children of God. Think about coming to a father, being able to speak confidently, because that's your Father. And see, lost people don't call God Father. Think about it. The only time that a lost person calls God Father is if they are just reciting the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But for we as believers, because we come to God through the blood of Jesus in the Spirit, we know that we are His children, and so we call Him Father. Abba, Abba. It's a powerful statement. Let me show it to you this way. Many of you know, as I told you Wednesday night, that I was voluntold to be the first and second grade basketball coach. Now, voluntold means you were voluntarily told that you were going to be the first and second grade basketball coach at Covenant Christian Schools with 22 kids. And it was incredible. Our first game was this Thursday night, and everybody's been asking me, David, did y'all win? I'm still undefeated, only because we tied. But here's the thing. We had 21, 22 kids on the court, okay? And they're running around, and they all know that coach cares about them. It's weird saying coach because I'm talking about me. But all the kids know that coach cares about them. All the kids know that coach wants what's best for them. But there's one kid on the court that when coach speaks or when he comes to coach, he knows that coach loves him. And that's my son, Samuel. Think about this for a moment. When Samuel comes to me and speaks to me, he says, Dad, Dad. Why? Because of the relationship that I have with Samuel. He speaks to me totally different than all the rest of the kids on that court. Thursday night, I set Sam down in halftime and I said, Sam, I'm asking you that you would do this. I told him, I said, Sam, I'm asking that you would not shoot, but you would pass the ball. Well, he passed the ball. He passed the ball. And he did not know I was going to share this today. And I came home and I said, Sam, I just want you to know I'm so proud of you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for obeying. And he looked at me. He goes, well, you're my dad. And he said, I'm going to listen. And I'm going to follow what you said. Brothers and sisters, we come to God as Father because of the Holy Spirit testifying within us, Abba, Father. But not only do we come to Him as Father, but we come to Him in the Spirit, and the Spirit gives us words to pray. Romans 8 again, verse 26 tells us this, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with us, for us, with groanings too deep for words. One of my favorite things to pray at the beginning of a time of prayer is, Father, I don't know how to pray. In my humanity, in my fallenness, in my brokenness, I don't know how to pray. Father, this situation is way too big for me. I don't know how to pray. But Father, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit will speak in and through me as I cry out to you. See, we see that this offensive weapons, prayer, and the sword of the Spirit, we have access to by picking up or by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So let's take a quick moment and look at these two offensive weapons. The second thing today, first was the Holy Spirit that gives us access, but the second thing today is the Word of God. We talked about this briefly last week. I was going very fast, and so I just wanted to real quickly just state a few more things about the Word of God. First off, and as I told you last week, that the Word of God is God-breathed, God-spoken. I believe that with all my heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 is that all Scripture was God-breathed. But I want to show you three other quick things. One is that we see the Trinity in the Word. Not just spoken in the Word, right? We can read about the Trinity. But watch this. The Word of God is God-breathed. John 1:14, the Word of God became flesh, Jesus, right? And dwelt among us. In Ephesians 6, verse 17, it says the sword of the Spirit is what? The Word of God. We see the Trinity, the triune God right there. We also recognize that the Word of God is an absolute authority. Let me just say it again. The Word of God is the absolute authority. Okay, now I've already told you that those that don't have the Holy Spirit of promise can't understand the things of the Spirit. And so when I say that the Word of God is an absolute authority, people in our culture want to say, whoa, David, that's very narrow-minded. Well, you can take it up with God. He said it, not me. But here's the thing. Let me just explain real quick that it's the absolute authority. There is no authority higher than the Word of God. There's no authority higher than the Word of God. Some people say, David, the Bible must fit into science. Now, let me just be very careful. What I want people to recognize is that when you say that the Bible has to fit into science, you have now made science a higher authority than the Bible. See, this is the reason why we have people believing in theistic evolution. People will say, well, we've got to figure out a way to put evolution into the Bible. So what we'll do is we'll change the meaning of a day in Genesis chapter 1 so that we can explain science. Here's the problem. You do not allow science to become an authority over the Word of God. Now, let me just be very clear. If the Bible and science are conflicting, it's not the Bible that's wrong. It's science. Now, here's the thing. We have to remember that God does not operate in a box. Was God ever created? No. So when we think of time, does God fit in the mold of time? No. So when we think in our human terms on science and other things, of cultural things and all these different things, God doesn't have to fit within those boxes. And actually, he doesn't fit within those boxes because he is the ultimate authority. And so we recognize that God's word is the ultimate authority. There is no authority higher than God's word. One more thing about God. And listen, if you're picking up God's word as a sword of the Spirit to be your offensive weapon, I bet you're glad just as I am that it's the ultimate authority. There ain't nothing going to come that's higher than God's holy word. So when we pick this up, we're picking up the ultimate authority. And so then we know how to walk every day. Because it's the ultimate authority, we recognize that it's living and active. Hebrews chapter 4, I read it briefly last week, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. There is no creature, no person hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, as I sit there and I think about that, people don't realize that God's word is not there to be some legalistic law of taking away all your joy and happiness. No, he wrote his word because he loved you. It's a love letter to you. It's out of love that God breathed this out for each of us. I can't convince the world to believe that this is living and active, but I don't have to. I just continue to read it. I continue to preach it. I continue to share it. We continue to share it. And let me tell you what's going to happen. The word of God will not return void. Why? Because it's living and active. Listen, oftentimes we try to think of, well, I need to say it just like this, or I need to say it like just like this. Say it, just speak the word of God and watch the word of God be living and active. God's word will never return void. The third thing that we want to see here is the second offensive weapon, and it's prayer. Now, prayer in the Spirit, right? Prayer. Coming to the Father as a child. Now, because we're speaking about spiritual warfare, I thought of no better way than to explain prayer with a walkie-talkie. So, think about this for a moment. I talked with different people who were in the military, and I asked them, I said, what was the purpose of the walkie-talkie? It was communication, right? It's communication. Now, when you speak on the walkie-talkie, you're communicating, but you're also waiting to hear back, right? So somebody has the other walkie-talkie in here somewhere. Is there anything that I need to know?
Brother David, I talked to the nursery workers. They want to know how much longer you're going to be.
Well, praise God that Randy's not the one on the other end of the walkie-talkie. Who is? Our commander in chief, God the Father. We have the privilege, brothers and sisters, the privilege, the honor, that when we are in battle and when we're not in battle, we can communicate and talk with the commander in chief, the creator who literally spoke and earth existed. Are we communicating with God? Now, oftentimes we communicate and we just We tell God all of our needs, but I think that we got to recognize too that we're in a battle. And sometimes we need to call in an airstrike. Sometimes we're saying, like, listen, we start praying about all these, and listen, there are a whole bunch of needs, but are we recognizing that the battle is against the enemy, and the enemy is holding people in our culture hostage, and that if they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're going to die and go to hell. We need to be praying and seeking the Lord, crying out to our commander-in-chief on how we are to continue to penetrate this culture for the kingdom of God. See, even Paul, in the book of Ephesians, he is such an example of this. Remember Paul, he prays. He focuses in on prayer. He's that example. In Ephesians 1, he's not telling them just to pray. He's saying, hey, I've already written to you in this book and prayed for you. Look at what he says in Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. He says, well, in verse 16, he says, in my prayers, I'm praying for you. I make mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and of knowledge. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you'll know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above the rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subject under his feet, and he gave as head over all things to the church. He gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who feels all in all. How is Paul praying here? Paul's praying that we as the body of Christ would be filled and know what is the hope of his calling. While we're here, that we would be certain of what is to come. While we're here, we'd be certain that we're in Christ Jesus. While we're here fighting the good fight, That we would recognize there's an inheritance, and that this temporal and light afflictions does not compare to the weight of glory that is to come. He's saying that we would recognize there's an inheritance. And he's saying, I pray that you would know what is the surpassing greatness of power towards us who believe. And then he goes into it. I'm going to pray how big and how powerful God is. See, when we look at this prayer of Paul, we need to recalibrate our prayer life. What is Paul praying for? I'm not saying that we don't need to pray for those who are sick. We do. The scripture tells us to. The scripture calls us to call upon the elders of the church to lay hands on and to pray for those who are sick that they may be healed. But let me tell you, that's not the only thing that the scripture calls us to pray for. The scripture is calling us, as Paul gives an example here and tells us in the heat of the battle, that we have an offensive weapon of prayer, and that is to pray that the believers would be strengthened, that the believers would recognize the surpassing greatness of the power of the Holy Spirit that's with them. That the believers would continue forward for the kingdom of God, because Jesus has placed all things, God has placed all things under Jesus' feet. There's another example. In chapter 3, he says this in chapter 3, verse 14. And I won't read the whole prayer, but he says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. He's praying that you'd be strengthened in the inner man according to the riches of God's glory through what? Through the Holy Spirit. Are we praying for one another? Are we asking God to strengthen us in the midst of the battle? But oftentimes, here's what we pray. God, get me out of the battle. Take me out. Remove this battle. This is too tough. But here Paul is saying, hey, I pray that you'd be strengthened in the midst of it. strengthened in the inner man. I'm reminded in Acts chapter 4, I believe it is, where Peter came back and they had been threatened. And y'all remember they prayed, and when they prayed, the wall shook. I actually had a dream last night. I don't ever share my dreams, but I had a dream last night that we were singing and praying and this place started shaking. But here's the thing. How did he pray? He said, Father, take note, recognize the threats against us, and give us the confidence and boldness to proclaim your truth. He didn't say, Father, take me out. Father, get me out of this situation. No, he said, Father, in the midst of this situation, you have put me here for a reason, for a purpose, and I pray that you would give me confidence to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there's no situation on this earth that's bigger than our God. Remember, he is the ultimate authority. How are we praying for one another? No, hear me again. I'm not telling you not. That's a double negative. I am not saying that it's wrong to pray for people to be healed. The scripture commands us to. But that is not our only prayer. We're in a spiritual fight. And souls, eternal souls, are on the line. And there are many people that if they breathe their last today, they would have eternal hell. And we have the answer. And we're called to take it to them. Listen, prayer is so important that not only did Paul give us an example in chapters 1 and 3, but Jesus, all throughout his ministry, all throughout his life. Listen, if the Son of God went away to pray, I think that we need to pray. Let me just say that again. If the Son of God went away to pray, we need to pray. Now let me just show you in Luke chapter 5, verse 16. It says, but Jesus himself, and I love this, would often slip away to the wilderness and what? If the Son of God often slips away to pray. Now let me just tell you, Jesus was in direct communication. He had just, he had a direct line, just as we do, to the Father. And he was in constant communication with the Father. But it says that he often stepped away to the wilderness to pray. If Jesus shows us, the Son of God, that example, then let me tell you, we need to listen and we need to walk in it. I go back to Genesis chapter 1, chapter 1 and 2. At the end of the 7 days, at the seventh day of creation, what did God do? He rested. Did God need to rest? No, but why did he rest? To give us an example. Jesus is in constant communication with the Father, but he's showing us that he slips away often to pray. In Hebrews 5:7, in the days of his flesh, Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with a loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. Jesus cried out to the Father. Now, I think that each of you need to do a study on Jesus' prayers and examples, but I'll give you a little bit of a head start here. In Luke 9, the confession of Peter upon this rock, he said that you are the Christ, right? And then Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Just before that, it says that they were praying alone. Luke 9, at the Transfiguration, guess what they were doing? They went to the mountain to pray. Luke 11, you have the model prayer. Matthew 9:13, Jesus praying for the children. Remember, let the children come so that I can pray. John 17, you have the high priestly prayer. Mark 14, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, throughout his ministry, throughout his life, was in prayer. If Jesus gives us the example, let me tell you, there's no one greater to follow. Paul follows that example, and we see that in Ephesians. And I'm going to wrap things up with these last two. But in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, there are four alls. There's four alls in that verse. With all prayer and petition, remember that's how we take up the sword. Then it says, pray in the Spirit all the time. All the time. So what does that mean to pray all the time? Well, that's pretty simple. You pray anywhere and everywhere. And you pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians tells us that we pray without ceasing. You know, I think it's interesting that there's been a big fight all my life about whether they have taken prayer out of schools, out of the public schools. And I just think it's interesting that there's a fight over that, because you can't take prayer out of the schools. There's no way. As long as there's tests, there'll be prayer. But the reality of it is this. The reality of it is this, is that a believer in Christ, a child of God, can access the throne of grace no matter where they are and at all times. There's no way to take prayer out of schools, because we're going to continue to pray. Listen, though I may not pray out loud, and I will when the Holy Spirit leads me, but they can't stop me from praying right there in my heart to the Father. When you're taking your kid to school, are you praying for them? Are you praying for that day? Are you praying for the school? They can't take it out, because it's all times, anywhere, God has called us to pray. Then it also says to pray with all perseverance. Now, I'm going to end with this one just due to time, and we'll finish in the next 2 weeks that we are finishing Ephesians. But it says this: be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. Let me just say this: temptation is all around us. If I pick this up and my commander-in-chief, not Randy, is speaking to me, the enemy is going to want to bring some static. There is temptation all around us to take our mind off of listening, our ears off of listening to what God is speaking, and turn it to all the things around us. Mark chapter 14 in the Garden of Gethsemane is a perfect example. It says, "And he came and he found them sleeping. He said to Peter, 'Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for an hour?' And listen to what he said in verse 38. 'Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" I think that all of us would say that we struggle with praying without ceasing, making it a priority of our life, to pray for things more than just with what we want, but to begin to pray for spiritual growth, to begin to pray that we be strengthened in the inner man according to the riches of God's glory through the Holy Spirit, that we would pray, "What is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? What is the hope of the calling and the inheritance of the saints?" I think that all of us struggle with that. It's because the temptations are all around us. And as we cry out, one, it's a struggle to find the time, and two, it's a struggle to listen. You know, I shared with you at the beginning that I'm coaching this first and second grade team. I had no clue that there was going to be about 100 to 150 parents show up in one gymnasium. You know, I've seen football and I've seen baseball, but those are outside. But when you get inside and you have parents there and they're first and second grade, it's really loud. And we had these plays designed. We were going to run plays, first and second graders. We were all about it. But what I didn't take into account was all the distractions. See, what would happen is one of our kids would get the ball and I'm calling out the play, but every parent on the sideline is either yelling, "Pass the ball," or "Shoot the ball," or "Go faster." And on the other side, they're yelling, "Get him!" One kid came up to Marks Nicholson and said, "Don't call my number again. It's dangerous in there." But here's what happened. With all that noise, they couldn't hear the coach. They couldn't hear the coach. And because of that, we never truly ran a play. It was organized chaos. But there's a deep spiritual nugget of truth there. The enemy recognizes the power of prayer. Listen, you can do a lot of things, but you can't truly do anything until you've prayed. The enemy recognizes that if I can keep you busy and distract it, you won't hear what your commander-in-chief, what your coach is speaking to you. Listen, parents are a good thing. But in that moment, that good thing was distracting for the direction for them to run accordingly. We must recognize that we have to, with all perseverance, cry out to God. That we pray in the Spirit. We pray at all times. We follow the example of Paul, which is ultimately the example of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, are we taking up the true offensive weapons? The Word of God and prayer. As I close this morning, I say this, that there are some in this room who, when I was talking about being filled by the Holy Spirit of promise, really struggled with, what does that mean? You know, the Scripture says that until the Spirit is within you, you can't understand these things. The Scripture says that everyone is in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. I pray that today, that if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you would hear this right now. That if you die without Christ, there's eternal hell. But Jesus, God the Father, sent his Son to die on the cross. He demonstrated his love for us, that while we were sinners, he died for us. And if you put your faith and your trust in him, it says that if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. If you submit to his lordship, it says he'll give you a new heart. He'll forgive you of your sins. And that when you stand before the throne of God, God will not see your unrighteousness, your filthy rags, but he will see the righteousness of his Son, Jesus. For those who don't know Christ, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Our pastors will be down front here in just a moment. We'd love to talk with you. But we'll also be at the note table at the back that can share with you after worship. But for those who are believers in this room, are we truly taking up the offensive weapons that we have? Instead of saying, Father, get me out of this, we say, Father, I'm going to stand and I'm going to show the world your glory. I'm going to show them your strength. I'm going to show them that I can stand in the might of Christ and in his strength.